All right, we bring in the third base coach of the Giants. That is Ron Wotus. The Professor, Woe, how are you?
Marty, good to be with you tonight. Sinker, slider, bone chip. It's good to hear your voice. As you guys know, I'm driving home. I just got through the tunnel, and I was able to catch a little bit of the show, and I like the conversation, so good to be with you.
Very good. Hey, a couple of things. One, I heard from Colleen at River Islands, and they had the best June ever, more than 100 sales in June at River Islands. So people leaving the congestion of the Bay Area for the wide open spaces of River Islands. How do you like that?
Well, you can't beat it, Marty. You know, when I've been home with this COVID thing, I've actually been researching putting a pool in because of this warm weather that we have out here. And you think about River Islands and all the stuff they have to do outdoor. They have all the waterways, you know, houses on lakes and the river over there. It's just, you know, another reason to me in the summer that you can really enjoy that stuff. It's funny. I've been in the Bay Area for 30-plus years, and being out of baseball for 2 months, I realized how important it is to have water around you where you can go swimming. So, yeah, great place. We always talk about it, and I'm so happy that they had a great month.
Very good. Hey, it's my granddaughter Ruby's birthday, Ben. She already texted me. It's not this Wednesday. It's next Wednesday. See, this is what happens when I'm out of touch, all right? So I've already been corrected from Ruby. All right, thanks, honey. Happy birthday. Hey, Woe, what kind of day was it like for you today? There was an inter-squad game. I said some of the highlights already, but tell us what today was like for you.
Yeah, well, we have an early group. You know, we were going for the first 5 days. We were doing them in three groups, you know, because of the social distancing and limiting the number of people in the facility, you know, following all the protocols. But the city has approved us having more players at on the field at one time. So we're doing two groups. We have the early morning session. We have pitchers that aren't throwing that day. They don't have a side. They don't go through any drills. They basically play catch, stretch, and condition. And then we bring in, you know, two sections of the position players along with pitchers as well. And then those two groups, they both work out. And then we play an inter-squad game, which, you know, right now it's really all about getting the pitchers some live action and getting the hitters live action. So today it was more like a game. We had the black team and the orange team. We had nine fielders on each side, so it felt more like a game. And the previous 3 days we were just more inner squatting. We didn't have a full nine on the field, so we're getting to the point now where, you know, the games are the most important thing for us, although there are other areas that we want to cover, but still we have a lot of players here to deal with.
Hey, Ron, good to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're driving home safe. There's a couple of things I want to ask you. One is I can pick you out of the crowd now when you don't wear your hat because your gray hair just glows on that field. So I know where you are when I see all these pictures and everything. And I just want to comment, you know, the hair's looking really good on the field. But the other question I want to ask is, you know, with the weather being so hot lately, the last couple of days, Are they still wearing the mask on the field when they're playing, or is that a second thought when they can play a game, they can take them off?
Yeah, good questions, Bill. First of all, I was really pulling for Eli Whiteside to be here because he's totally gray. His nickname's Whitey, and I do stand out like a sore thumb, so I appreciate you bringing that up. But, you know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, the players are comfortable with the masks. Half mm-hmm. the players are playing with the masks on. Half of them are not. I know myself, when I go out to coach third in these games, I'm taking the mask off because I feel so much more comfortable. But then I got to watch walking up to the player to tell him mm-hmm. something. So, you know, I might even wear the mask on the third base coaching line if that permits me to get a little closer to the player and keep the protocols in place.
Well, as I said, in a squad game today, and obviously you were there for a big part of it. Kerry Crowley tweeted some stuff out. Mentioned just a couple to you. One that Flores made a good play to cut Bart down in the extra inning. Bart was going second to third, and Flores threw him out. How did that play unfold?
Yeah, well, it was a good situation for us. You know, we'd love to cover a man on second, nobody out in extra innings. And we were only playing seven innings. But we played it like it was a tie game in extra innings, and we ran Bard out there. We didn't, you know, have a speedster runner available, so we put him out there. And Ruff did a nice job hitting the ball to the right side, and you got to tip your hat to Flores because he's playing way off the line at first, and so he's not too deep at first base. So he charged the ball well, and he made a perfect throw to third. And nailed Bart coming to third. And, you know, that's what you want the first baseman to do in that situation. So it was good hitting by Ruff, you know, and a better play by Flores to get the lead runner at third base. But we ended up scoring later on in the inning, so it worked out.
You know, you talked about the pitching and trying to get these guys on the mound and throwing. I know we all three of us talked about how it would be coming back. Are they on pitch count? Are there some guys throwing a little bit more because they're in better shape? What is the pitching aspect of how they're moving forward with that?
Yeah, Bill, I think just like in spring training, you know, we're starting them off a little easier, obviously. They are in a pitch count. For instance, the last 3 days, if they get to 17, 18 pitches, we're rolling the inning over. You know, we're stopping it right there. And at the same token, if they have a five-pitch inning, we're letting them continue, so we're controlling that. And then some guys are throwing, you know, more than that. You know, they go out for an inning and they throw a couple more. But right now, they're limited. You know, they're not throwing anything over 20-plus pitches, and I think that'll change as we go. But, again, we have such a short ramp-up that we're going to want to get these guys in to, you know, the guys that throw multiple innings. And there's a few of them that have already done it. They're going to obviously throw more innings quickly.
Well, it's such a treat to have you on here. I know the fans are appreciating it. It's our first chance to talk about Luciano and Ramos. And you finally get a look at the golden guy, Luciano, the young kid, and Ramos is on his way as well. What's your initial take on the two of them?
Yeah, Marty. You know, I've been impressed with both of them. The one thing I didn't know about Ramos, and, you know, Felipe Alou used to talk about this all the time, and I concur with it 100%, is the man. He talked about, you know, the tools of the player, but trust in the man. And one thing I'm finding out about Ramos now that I'm around him, you know, on a daily basis, he's assertive, he's aggressive, he's engaged, you know, he's translating to the younger Latin players for us, and I just like his whole demeanor. So with the tools that he has, you know what, it's a nice package. So I've been impressed with him. And Luciano, you know, he doesn't speak very good English yet, but the tools in the body, I mean, I didn't realize he was had this physique on him. I mean, you know, he's going to be a big, strong kid. His first at bat, you saw he hit one 15 rows up on a home run. So, you know, he looks like he knows what he's doing at the plate for a 19-year-old kid. And, you know, he's got a lot of stuff to work out. Don't get me wrong, but the body and the tools are there. And watching him take ground balls, he has the actions. I think his hands are good. You know, myself and Kai and all the other great infield coaches we have here, Jason Wood, our minor league roving instructor, Jose Aguacil, Nick Ortiz, Mark Halberg. So we got a bunch of coaches, and we all decided to slow his hands down because he's moving his hands too quick. And the point, reason I'm telling you this is he made the adjustment in a day. He's already improved it. So that's a real good sign as well that he's coachable and he has some aptitude and retention.
Well, Ron, I'm so glad that Marty and I can continue to just keep firing questions at you as we're both so inquisitive. And I'm going to throw another one at you. Have they talked about the bullpen? Have they talked about the division of where guys are going to fall, long man, middle man setup? I know we're all wondering if Rogers is going to be the closer. Is it just too early to start setting up the bullpen?
Yeah, Bill, I think it is. There's a couple of things to give you some insight. This COVID, all the protocols is really making it, everything's more independent. For instance, in a regular spring training, we'd come in at 7:30 in the morning. We're having a coaches meeting, and we have all the coaches in there, and we're going over everything. Well, we're not even having meetings right now because we don't want to gather inside as a group. So everybody's kind of left to take care of their area. and, you know, the team fundamentals and the team stuff that you like to accomplish in the spring is a little bit more difficult to accomplish. So having said that, we're going to start having some meetings because it's getting to the point now that we have to discuss these things as a staff, and we have to start putting this roster together. But we haven't done any of that just to stay safer with the protocols. But we're going to have some meetings tomorrow, and we'll start probably delving into that a little bit more now that everybody's been out a couple times, pitching-wise.
Well, what time do you get there in the morning?
We're a little bit later now. Before, we were getting there at 6 a.m.
Oh,
with three waves. Yeah, and now, well, that's just like regular spring, Marty, right? We get there at 5 in Arizona, but I'm getting there about 9 o'clock now in the morning, and I get home, what is it, going to be close to 7 tonight. So typical spring training, I guess, but it's in San Francisco, which our coaches have done a good job. You think you have one field here, and you have to deal with all these protocols, and I think Kai has done a great job, you know, coordinating the schedule with the training staff and all the protocols that we have to get this work in. It's not a perfect situation, but we feel good about what we're doing.
Hey,
Ron,
Crawford.
You know,
go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to say, Ron, I got to tip the hat to you guys and your coaching staff for making Oracle Park so many different ways where you can train. You took the garage and you changed that. You had double batting cages from left field out. You know, tell us who instrumented all that and how did that all come about? Because I think you guys really broke that park down in so many different ways where you could help different players.
Yeah, well, on the front office side, John Norp headed up, the changes to the ballpark. Alfie Felder was involved with that. Myself, I went out 3 or 4 times to look at the facility and give my input. Certainly Cap was up here to give his input. But I think John Norp and those guys, we told them what we needed. We needed more batting cages. You know, talking to Kai, we discussed we need a couple portable mounds to use in left and right field with all these pitchers to get people active. So we gave them the parameters and the things that we needed, and they built it. And we're utilizing the home clubhouse, the visiting clubhouse, other spaces for lockers. So right now, everybody's spread out really good. We're barely inside because, as I said, we're not having meetings. We can't use the video room. So it's really going right to the nuts and bolts on the field. You know, the interesting thing or the challenging thing for me is going to be when we start the season and we start flying. And now we have 30 people in a small clubhouse. And you're in there for 4 or 5 hours. You take your batting practice. You come in. You're eating dinner before the game. That's going to feel a lot different. And we'll see how that goes once we get to that.
Mm. Hey, before we let you go, Woe, and I'm sure you're close to being home now, and I want you to enjoy the night with Lori. Crawford's name comes up a lot. It looks like he's having a great spring 2.0. And the other one, Sandoval, hit one out today. How about that?
Yeah, Marty, I got to tell you, our hitting coaches have done a good job. You know, you would think that the pitchers would be way ahead, but we have some guys swinging the bat. You mentioned Crawford, and what he's doing is he's just not trying to pull the ball. He's hitting everything to left field. And, Bill, you know when you face a hitter that'll take that base hit to left field, he's a tougher hitter to get out. And
sure
he's
is.
Been doing that, swinging the bat very good. And, of course, we know what he brings defensively. So he's having a good camp. I think he's got something to prove. You know, I think he wants in that lineup. And he's been an all-star. He's the gold glover. I think he's has something to prove here. I mean, he didn't have the year he wanted last year offensively. So I'm seeing that from him. Longoria swinging the bat extremely well. And as you said, Pablo can flat hit. You know, I think Pablo, he don't even need to see live pitching. He can go up there with a month off, and he'll just get a hit. That's the way this guy swings. So some good things are happening.
Yeah. Well, I think the only question I really need to ask you, did you get to take a shower before you left? Because I know that was a big worry of yours.
Yeah, Bill, you know, I They suggest not showering, but that one for me, I mean, personal hygiene is at the top of my list. I'm sorry. I shower every day. But I'll tell you what happens. I get undressed. I don't know if the people want to hear that. And then I walk into the shower, and I remember, geez, I got to go ask the clubhouse guys for a towel. So I got to walk into the room and get a towel every day because they're not allowed to put that stuff in our locker. But it took me a few days. I got the soap, and I have all my personal stuff in my locker, and you got to do everything on your own now.
All right. Well, look, I appreciate you taking the time. Honestly, it's such a treat to have you on. I know you're working hard, and maybe next week we can do something similar. Then, whoa, if it all stays together, and I know there's a long way to go, you got July 23rd. It's all supposed to start. So we'll see what happens. So before I let you go, Posey and his decision, how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, I was got wind of the Twins a while ago, and I think that I think it's a no-brainer for him. I mean, he's certainly such an important piece for us, but I don't know how anybody could see it differently. If I was in his shoes, I'd be doing the same thing. So I think everybody on the club knows that, you know, we can't replace him. I mean, he adds so much behind the plate, the person, the leader, the experience. You know, we're going to miss that. There's no doubt about it. But as far as the decision goes, I think everybody is so supportive of him and happy that he's been able to add to his family. It's been something that's extremely important to him and his family. So we're happy for him and happy that, you know, it's behind him now, because I know he was probably dreading making that announcement.
Very good, yeah.
Hey, Ron,
yeah.
Be safe, Ron. I just want to get one more last word in. Have a nice cold a cold brew tonight or a nice glass of red wine, relax, and it's always great to hear your voice, and be safe, and hopefully the Giants will stay safe also.
All right, Bill, Marty, thank you, and I got to tell you, I'm driving right by Lenardi's, so maybe I'll stop in there and pick something up.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they have masks on the chickens. They don't mess around there.
Yeah. I heard that, yeah. I heard that somewhere. I don't know who said it. I think it was you.
Yeah, I think I probably one of my lighter moments here. Hey, but take care of yourself. Honestly, I know how hard not only you but everybody is working right now, and Greg Elliott and everybody else that you guys work with. This is unprecedented times, and just stay safe. That's the main thing, and we'll catch up with you next week if we have time. So thanks for taking the time, Will.
Absolutely, Marty. Thank you. Okay, you guys, take care.
All right. That is our third base coach of the Giants. Boy, nobody like, right, Bill? No one like Will.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, we just kind of drilled him left and right, Marty, but he was right on point with everything, and that's what's great about Ron and our friendship with him, and just a stellar guy on and off the field. That's why we both love him so much.
Yeah, and he just tells the truth, and you know, mm-hmm. within parameters of you know what you can say, you know, being involved with this stuff. But there's nobody better. I'll tell you, in the country, there's nobody better on the air than Woe. I really mean that.